game. It came down to the very end. They were all tied up 6-6 late in the fourth quarter. And just a freak running play straight up the gut. They had been running it all game. The defense had been taking care of it all game. And a freak just defensive collapse allowed about 60-yard touchdown to kind of seal the deal for the opposing team. And the final score was 13-6. And that about wrapped it up. But it was a close game. It was a good game. And, you know, knocked us out of the playoffs. But, you know, there's always next year.
Are we talking about Megan's flag football game?
Ah, you got it. You got it. You got it. Yes. We have shifted gears for this week's podcast, and we're going to talk about intramural flag football.
Oh, man. I'm excited about this one. This one, It doesn't get as much publicity as some of the other variations of the game, but, you know.
No.
It's nothing wrong with it. It's still a viable, you know, entity, and people watch it, you know, in different ways.
Yeah.
I actually have my issue of Obscure Sports Quarterly open right now.
Yeah, exactly. But no, for those of you who didn't know, I am the coach of Megan's flag football team, and the first round of the playoffs was tonight, and they got knocked out. It was crazy. It really was a good game. I mean, there actually was a pretty decent crowd there for the game, and it was kind of a defensive game.
So you're kind of a defensive-minded coach then?
No, I kind of took care of more of the offense. It's hard to move the ball in girls' flag football. I'll just say that. And actually, both of the teams had pretty good defenses. Our team has good defense. They scored a touchdown on their first possession, and they didn't score again until their last possession. So it was pretty nuts, and we scored a touchdown in the third quarter. It was fun. I mean, it was a good game. Megan got a little bit banged up and had to come out in the third quarter. Oh, well, it's fun. But you know what, Andrew? I did gain a new respect for coaches on the sideline.
You know, I'm sure you did. I'm actually looking at the looking at the message boards now. There are some very, very vile things being said about you and your play calling abilities.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't just the play calling. It was just, you know, confusion. You know, couldn't get the right packages in. We run a spread offense, Andrew.
Right.
There's a lot of wildcat that's thrown in there.
And it looks like your recruiting numbers are not that great. You had two stars in there.
they're not great. We're not talking about that. I don't think I'm on the hot seat, but we'll just have to wait and see. So we'll see what the AD says.
Well,
I have a meeting with him next week.
You know, here's the thing is you're not on the hot seat, but then some big booster comes in and just throws a big check down and you're done. That's the way it happens.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the 4th and Short podcast at 4thandshort.com. My name is Will Patton, Coach Patton, if you prefer to call me that.
General?
General Patton. That's what I go by out there. I'm joined by
Andrew Brown, and of course you can always follow me on Twitter at DowntownAndrewB.
Of course. What, do you have like 100,000 followers now?
Well, yeah, but some of them are fake followers.
Oh, okay. Well, there's nothing you can do about that. Besides the flag intramural flag
yeah,
football.
Yeah,
we need
to get into college football because some people probably already turned the podcast off.
Yeah, they probably don't want to listen to this stuff. But there are some games this week. And surprisingly, for week 6 into the season, there's really not a whole lot of marquee matchups in the ACC and the SEC. There's one game with two ranked teams, and one of those is barely ranked at 25. And that's kind of it. I mean, there's some games that are interesting that will be interesting to watch and we'll talk about, but there's really no big matchups like we've been seeing the last few weeks where you have a couple of juggernauts going against each other.
Right.
But that's okay. There's still some interesting games to talk about. The first one that we're going to talk about is Georgia Tech at Miami. Georgia Tech comes off a tough loss to Virginia Tech. Miami is riding high, 4-0, after dismantling South Florida last week, number 14 in the polls. But they could have a few problems this week. There's a lot of question marks in terms of some personnel, who's available, who's not. Stephen Morris, their quarterback, was knocked out of the game last week against South Florida. And I have not really heard definitively at this point whether or not he's going to play or not.
Yeah, it could be one of those things, the sleight of hand kind of things to see. You know, make you prepare for two different quarterbacks. That's kind of my feeling on it right now.
Yeah, and Stephen Morris really is, he's a good quarterback.
He is.
And he's basically the reason that we lost to them last year, besides the fact that our defense imploded. But he really, really hurt us bad. And then, they have Duke Johnson, the all-everything running back. And I've heard, and again, I hear that he kind of got banged up as well in last week's game, but I'm sure that he will be out there. There's right. No reason for me to think that he won't be playing.
This will be interesting because, let's be honest, we've done a fairly good job of containing running backs so far. So either it's indicative of the running backs we played, or maybe we have, you know, fairly good run defense.
Yeah, and I think really, our defense has been kind of a surprise so far this year. And all the games that we played, of course we had the shutout against Elon, which it doesn't really mean anything, but still, whenever you hold a team to 0 points, it's something to consider.
Right.
And then they played well against Duke, holding them to just a couple of scores. And then they played well enough against North Carolina and a good quarterback. And again, we don't know what happened in North Carolina against East Carolina last week, but it kind of reminded me a little bit like last year when Georgia Tech lost to Middle Tennessee after a tough loss to Miami. You know, maybe the team was probably just
Mentally fatigued.
Right. I mean, they had lost a tough game to start out the season against South Carolina, and then you come to Georgia Tech and you play in the rain the entire game, you get none of the breaks the entire game, and you lose a relatively close one. So, they may have been mentally fatigued going into that East Carolina game. They probably didn't really take him seriously going into that game. But either way, Georgia Tech held them to 20 points, so that's a victory. Usually, if you hold a team to that few points, you expect to win.
Right.
And the same thing against Virginia Tech last Thursday. If you hold a team to 17 points, usually you expect to win that game.
You pretty much held them to one drive. You know, you have
there was one good drive that they had the entire game.
And going back to the North Carolina thing, the interesting, I wish somebody could email us at fourthandshortpodcast@gmail.com if you have the actual numbers here. But I know at one time there was a stat that said teams that played us the week after, you know, the next week, had a very bad record. You know, a lot of teams tended to lose the week after they played us, even if they beat us. Because, you know, a lot of people say, well, you get all these assignment principles down, and then you go play an I formation team, and they're doing
your tendencies change
dramatically.
You get used to defending the option, which is, you know, say whatever you want. It there is some differences that you have to make, and then you go back to facing quote unquote more traditional.
Right, the I power offense. Running game. It's going to be just different.
So, but back to the Georgia Tech Miami game. Miami has had our number. They've beaten us every year, and the last time we beat them was that Thursday night game in 2008. But since then, they've really had our number. We almost won last year, but couldn't hold them at the end, lost it in overtime. So hopefully this year will be different. I feel like this is Georgia Tech needs to make a statement here.
Right.
I don't think Miami is as good as people tell them that they are. They beat a mediocre Florida team. They beat the snot out of a very, very bad South Florida team. I mean, and besides that, it's been cupcakes. What do we know? We know that they are better than Florida, but what does that tell us? It doesn't tell us much. It'll be interesting to see what happens. It's 3:30 kickoff. You know, I'm sure that there will be a decent crowd at Miami, but they haven't been drawing big crowds. I don't think the atmosphere is really going to be tough for us to deal with. I think a couple of days extra rest might benefit us a little bit, get some guys healthy, a little extra time to prepare for them.
You really need to win this game.
Yeah.
You know, this is just one of those games that I'm not going to say you circle on your calendar, but you lose four in a row to a team, you know, you need to come back and win it. You know, and what Coach Johnson has said in the past is revenge is a great motivator. Well, if you don't feel like you need revenge against Miami, I don't know who you feel you need revenge against. Because
this class that's playing right now, even the red shirts, they've never beaten them.
Right. And I think you had your chance last year, and you got so close that you really need to make a statement, like you said. Come in there, go in their home field, and just play you have to play a great game. And the big key, this is what is going to matter at the end of the game. I really believe this is what's going to matter, is turnovers.
Yeah.
You turn the ball over, especially if you turn the ball over early. You just kill momentum, and they're the home team. You just can't go in there and do that. Now, something else, and you didn't mention this yet, Will, I don't believe, is that I think we should be able to expect Justin Thomas to get some snaps in this game.
I heard about that. I haven't had a chance to listen to the Paul Johnson radio show, but apparently he said that Justin Thomas will play.
Right. What he said was, and I just heard snippets of it, is that they had a great practice. What he said, it was the best practice they'd had all year. I guess it was Monday. And he said that Justin Thomas had a great practice. He said Vads looked good, but Justin looked great. Now,
is that throw him off the scent a little bit kind of talk?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I was going to say. I don't know if this is just, you know, smoke and mirrors. But Coach Johnson usually isn't a smoke and mirrors kind of person, you know?
Which is exactly why he should put some smoke and mirrors out there.
Sure. That's true. But I think one thing is, and he made this point, and this is something that I've heard Nick Saban say before. If you go back to last year, Alabama played LSU, and they didn't play particularly great. And then LSU scored a big touchdown with like a minute and a half to go, and then A.J. McCarron went down and got the game-winning touchdown. So Alabama wins the game. The next week, Alabama plays Texas A&M and loses. It's their one loss of the year. And what Nick Saban says, look, you didn't play particularly well, and you won the game. And he said that's the worst thing that can happen to you, because you don't play great, but then when you tell the players, hey, we didn't play very well, we got lucky, players don't necessarily hear it, because, hey, we won the game.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same thing that in this position Coach Johnson said is, look, we didn't play particularly well against North Carolina, yet we won the game. So yeah. You say to the players, look, we played terrible, we got away with it. It doesn't always resonate as highly as after you lose, you kind of going to get more attention from them. And I think the big one was turnovers. You fumbled the ball several times against North Carolina, and I think we talked about it, is that you got to control that. And so against Virginia Tech, you did the same thing, and you lost some key turnovers. This is a game where you have to say, okay, we've got to eliminate those turnovers. We can't do that.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you.
I think that's the big thing, is at the end of the game, we'll look at that turnover battle. Georgia Tech wins the turnover battle. I think they have a fair chance of winning. They don't. I think they have a pretty good chance of losing. We need to create some turnovers. We haven't done a whole lot of that either.
Yeah. Which isn't the end of the world.
No, I mean, absolutely
it's
not.
And you kind of look at the people that we've been up against that could have created turnovers. We haven't been up against a quarterback who's really slinging the ball around in a position where defensive backs can pick it off. It's been lots and lots and lots of short passes.
Right.
Or quarterbacks running it themselves, or Elon, which, you know, we beat the snot out of them. And they were doing the short passes, too. So, with Steven Morrison there, or Ryan Williams being more, looks like he's more of a drop-back passer than Steven Morris. But it's going to be the Duke Johnson show. So, if our defense can stop Duke Johnson, then I think that's the key.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you got to play good defense. You got to play sound defense.
Yeah. So, I don't... As far as who I think is going to win this game, I'm not making that call until we get to the wrap-up, because I couldn't tell you. It's going to be close, I think.
So. Yeah, I think it could be. It could be a very close game.
Okay, the next game, and the only ranked versus ranked game that we have here, is Maryland at Florida State. Now, Maryland, at the beginning of the season... Okay, first off, this is their last year in the ACC.
Good riddance.
I feel like, yeah, good riddance. I think most people want Maryland gone. Nothing personal against our Terrapin friends out there, but you want it out, so get out. I mean, basically. You see greener pastures at another conference. Okay, yeah. Have fun traveling as far as you're going to have to travel for every every single home or every single away game, and you know, goodbye to the old rivalries that you used to have.
Hey, so, listen, they're gonna make a really strong rivalry with, you know, Northwestern and Indiana. Those are you know, those are gonna be some big games right there.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, but I'll take Louisville any day of the week over Maryland, regardless of how they're playing this year, which is kind of a surprise. Now, last year, Maryland, like when they played us, they were on their fifth quarterback of the year. The guy that was playing quarterback was a linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really hard to kind of tell how good or bad Maryland was last year.
It was decimated by injuries.
Yeah, they just were so unlucky when it came to injuries. I mean, when you're putting, it doesn't matter who else you have out on the field. If you're putting somebody who isn't a quarterback, like not we're not talking about a third or fourth string quarterback who's a walk-on or something. We're talking about they didn't have any quarterbacks left on their roster. I've never heard of anything like that happening before. So when you're putting your fifth string guy out there, you know, that's really tough. And, you know, maybe that really was good for them because they had a lot of adversity to overcome last year. And now that they have a good quarterback, you know, maybe there were some lessons that they learned last year that are really, really paying off this year. You know, nobody's playing with a chip on their shoulder over at Maryland.
Right.
They all know that they've got to play hard to win. And so far, I mean, they've played really some good football. They haven't really had much of a scare in any of their games. I mean, the closest game was against Connecticut, and they beat Connecticut by 11 points. And granted, the really only reasonably tough team that they played is West Virginia, but West Virginia just beat a ranked team.
Yeah, West Virginia's not. I mean, they run a very fast paced offense. I mean, they're not.
And
a
they
bad
beat
team.
Them 37-0. So it wasn't a pushover win. Like,
yeah, they just completely dominated. Absolutely dominated them. You know, here's the thing with Maryland. You said, well, they had a lot of adversity. That's really true. When Randy Edsall, he was replacing Ralph Regan, who was fired. And Ralph Regan was a very popular coach, very much a player's coach. All the players really liked him. And they'd had a winning season. They had gone 9-4. And they fired Ralph Regan. Randy Edsall comes in. Randy Edsall is very different in his approach. Not really a player's coach. Very disciplinary and very, very strict. And a lot of the players really didn't like it. He had, I wish I could remember, I think it was like 12 transfers. 12 or 13 transfers. So by last season, I mean, after the first season, or before the first season he coached, he had several transfers. Then after one season playing, he had a whole bunch more. So by last year, I mean, he was playing with something like 65 scholarships before the season started.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they had nobody to, they didn't have any players.
Yeah.
And then were decimated by injury. So it was just a really, really bad situation. I did not expect them, as you can go back and listen to the tapes, I did not expect Maryland to be nearly as good as they are showing right now. The question becomes, how good are they really?
And we're going to find that out this weekend.
We'll find out. And the other thing is, can Florida State's defense step up? That's the big question in my mind. Florida State has got to play better defensively. Boston College was just moving the ball pretty much at will. Mm-hmm. The run game was just killing Florida State, and they got down 17-3. And I think it was the next four or five possessions that Boston College had, they only had 40 rushing yards or 40 yards total in like the next several four or five possessions, and one of those was on 115-yard run. So they were just shutting them down. Okay, during that time, Florida State's offense was just scoring at will and got up 48-20. Well, at that point, it's almost like Florida State's defense just decided to take it off, and they gave up another huge drive, and it made it close again. So the question is kind of, in my mind, is Florida State's defense just kind of taking plays off? Do they not really have a lot of urgency? I don't know. But when you can really control the line of scrimmage for a little while and then just not, it's almost like you're just kind of turning it off and just going through the motions. And I don't think that anybody's going to sit here and say that Florida State doesn't have the athletes. So it's either that the scheme isn't working and the players just aren't able to get into the scheme, or the coaches are not doing a good job of pushing urgency and we have to play every down, because it just seems like they're not really playing every down. And that's not going to cut it against Maryland, because it looks like Maryland can score some points, and you don't want to get down 21-0 against Maryland.
No, definitely not. The good news for Florida State is it is a home game.
Right.
And they're going to, you know, they'll have the crowd to help them out, because you know it's going to be a sold-out crowd. And also, they have a bye week the next week, so, I mean, you're not looking forward to anybody on the calendar. It is Clemson, which is 2 weeks down the road, but there's nothing to keep them from focusing on Maryland right now.
Well, now, the interesting thing there is, and this is that this is the quote-unquote return game, in that Bobby Bowden is going to be at Doak Campbell for the first time since he was he retired.
Really? He hasn't been to a game yet?
No, he doesn't. He's going to be there, and he'll be on the field, and they're going to recognize him, and I can't remember who else during the halftime festivities. So
very interesting.
Very interesting, and the question is that going to be a distraction?
There is one other topic that I want to talk about. They're not an ACC team or an SEC team, but they are moving in that direction, and that is Louisville. We talked about at the beginning of the season a little bit about Louisville,
right.
And we talked about them a little bit when they played Kentucky. But last podcast we kind of talked about, you know, what teams might make it into the national championship, and like, can a one loss team make it in or whatnot, and. And I said in my bold predictions at the beginning of the season that a one-loss team could get in ahead of Louisville. Now, whether or not that is true, we'll find out as the season goes on. But Louisville is undefeated, and they have looked completely unstoppable.
Right.
In the games that they have played. And, Andrew, you look at their schedule, and you look at who Louisville plays going for the rest of the season, and there's nobody there.
Yeah.
There's no one that can beat them. You can make a slight argument for Central Florida. You can make an argument maybe for Cincinnati. But Temple, Rutgers, South Florida, Connecticut, Houston, Memphis, none of those teams stand a chance.
Yeah.
There's no ranked teams, no teams that are even close to being ranked on their schedule.
It's interesting.
It's a very interesting situation for Louisville to be in.
Here's the thing. So, it's all about if... I don't really know how to put this exactly, but you look at this in the sense that they beat Florida last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason that people would give them any credit. It's not always fair, but if you play this kind of schedule, people are just going to write it off. They did the same thing with Boise State. Boise State, they're no good, they're no good. Until they were able to beat Oklahoma in a bowl game. They beat Oklahoma, and then everybody in their preseason put them high in their rankings, and it gave them a chance to actually run the table. And people said if they run the table, then they can be in the national title game, because they had validated what they did by beating a quote-unquote good team. It's more of a just... You have to beat a traditional power. You can't be a part of the club until you beat a traditional power. Then we'll give you entrance. And this is hopefully what the playoff will eliminate some of. Because if Louisville goes undefeated next year in the playoff system, well, nobody's going to question. They'll be in. They'll be in the playoff. This year, and now of course next year they will play an ACC schedule, so it will be a tougher schedule. But this year, you're right. I don't know what's going to happen. If they go undefeated, it almost becomes the old Steve Spurrier motto is style points. We're just going to score as many as we possibly can to make people notice. You know, they're going to notice 59-0 over 24-0.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wouldn't be surprising if in a few weeks they start when they play. I mean, if I'm South Florida and Connecticut on October 26th and November 8th, I would look out, because I feel like there are going to be a lot of points scored on you.
Yeah. And this is where the computers might hurt them. When it comes to the BCS polls, just because they have zero strength of schedule. So the style points are going to be really important in those other polls to kind of help them out a little bit. But you look at they're ranked number 7 right now in the AP, and you look at the teams that are ahead of them: Alabama, Oregon, Clemson, Ohio State, Stanford, and Georgia. You look at those, and you see, like, Oregon and Stanford, they have to play each other. One of them's got to lose, so you can theoretically knock one of them behind Louisville.
Right.
Clemson plays Florida State. You know, one of those two teams has to lose, and Florida State is ranked 8th. So, depending on who wins or loses that game, you know, they're one of them, out of the picture.
Yeah. Right.
And then you look at the other games, you know, Georgia and Alabama, if they keep winning, they'll eventually run into each other in the SEC championship game. One of them will get knocked down. I don't think anybody wants a repeat of an SEC versus an SEC, especially if there's another undefeated team out there.
No, that couldn't. So, it wouldn't happen. There's no way.
It wouldn't happen. So I think one of them gets bumped down. So if you keep winning, that already bumps you up to 4. So then you're just hoping that either Ohio State or the winner of the Stanford – actually, that bumps you up to 3. You're just hoping that one of those two teams lose.
Okay, but here's my question then. Okay, let's say that Ohio State goes undefeated, Oregon loses a game somewhere, Georgia beats Alabama SEC championship game. Do you really think that Louisville gets no shot, even though they beat Florida last year in the...
Over a one-loss Georgia team?
Right.
Like a undefeated LSU over a one-loss Georgia team with another undefeated team out there. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying there's undefeated Ohio State, undefeated Louisville, one loss Georgia. Who gets the nod? Do you put Georgia in there?
Probably, just because they're SEC, and they'll make the argument that the only team that they lost to was, you know, a top 10 Clemson team first game of the season on the road.
But that's the ACC team. That shouldn't matter.
Yeah, it shouldn't, but, I mean, that's the argument that they'll make, and unfortunately for Louisville, I think that, I mean, already you see that Georgia is ranked ahead of Louisville.
Yeah,
I mean, what is Louisville going to be able to do for the rest of the season to jump Georgia? Nothing. Absolutely nothing for the rest of the season. There's nothing that they can do.
It's very interesting, and you're right. It isn't fair that you have to – you do everything you can, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's just unfortunate for Louisville. Really, it is, because they – are just dismantling teams.
Yeah, they are legitimately good. And if they go undefeated, I feel like they deserve a shot. But, you know, that's up to people above my pay grade.
Right.
So, but anyway, we just want to talk about them because they are coming to the ACC next year, and it is a really interesting storyline. But they play the mighty Temple this week, so
that's going to be a close game, man.
Yeah,
Temple.
Close, within 40 points, maybe. Okay, with that, we're going to get to our wrap-up and go through who we think wins or loses or ties. I don't know if it still happens, but...
That doesn't happen, Will, actually.
What if it went to, like, 19 overtimes? Is there eventually a point where they're just like, okay, we're calling this, we're done?
I don't think so. I think you just keep going.
Okay. All right.
Keep going.
All right, first game in the list, Ball State, Virginia, at Virginia.
Virginia hasn't been very good this year, but...
But is Ball State any good?
Well, they don't have Brady Hoke anymore. If anybody remembers, Brady Hoke, the coach at Michigan, did lead Ball State to an undefeated season. I think it was 07, maybe? But I don't think they're quite the same as the old fighting Brady Hokes of Ball State. So I'm going to go with Virginia on this one.
Okay. Next game is number 25, Maryland, at number 8, Florida State.
I think that the savior, Jameis Winston, is going to lead Florida State to a 56-49 victory in this
game. Yeah, I think that this one's going to be very, very close.
Big offensive showdown here.
Yeah, it's going to be very close, but I think that Florida State ekes out a win here. It may not be that close. I feel like it's going to be close into the third quarter, and then Florida State's going to wake up and take care of business.
56-49.
Okay. All right. It's noted. Okay. North Carolina at Virginia Tech. This one's really interesting, and I don't know what to do.
I'm going to pick Virginia Tech. That's what I'm going to do. Look, North Carolina, I don't know, man. They have some issues. They have some problems, and I think that they can be exploited defensively, and I think that Virginia Tech will be able to do that because, you know, East Carolina, I don't know that they're necessarily bad. But Virginia Tech is better than them.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like North Carolina has the ability to be good, but I just don't know if it's going to happen against Virginia Tech's defense.
At home.
At Virginia Tech.
Right.
Virginia Tech's defense really is... I mean, Jesse Palmer was saying that they're the best defense in the country, but they are legitimately good, and I don't think that North Carolina is going to score many points against that. I mean, I don't think that Virginia Tech's going to score many points either, but I feel like they'll play it just the same way that they've played every game this season that they've won.
13's more than 12, right?
13 is more than 12, exactly. So I think VPI gets the win here. Next game is questionable that it will happen. Army at Boston College. Government shutdown. This isn't a political podcast per se, but the government has shut down because I don't know different reasons. Do you watch the news?
Here's all I know is that since the government shut down, there's just been anarchy in the street.
Yeah.
Cars are burning. Falling. Yeah, cars are burning up all over the place. My car's okay. Nobody
Dogs,
wants it, though.
Dogs, cats, getting along.
We're all living together.
Yeah, living together. That's right. Yeah. If you know the reference that I just alluded to, please
email us at
fourthandshortpodcast@gmail.com.
And what actor said that?
But I have heard rumors that that Army might not be able to travel to the game because of budget stuff. I don't know. But... either way, is Boston College good, better than Army? I mean, they gave FSU a scare, but they haven't looked good besides that. Is Army? I don't think Army is good, though.
Can I pick the game not to happen? Is that possible?
Ooh.
What kind of pick is that? Where does that go in my rankings?
If it doesn't happen, I feel like it's just going to be empty. I mean, what can you say?
Wouldn't it be like 0-1-1?
It could be like a tie.
Bracket? Yeah, the third bracket. Look, I don't know to answer that question. I don't think Army is very good, so I think Boston College is just less bad.
Yeah, Army's 2-3. They've lost to Ball State, they lost to Stanford, and they lost to Wake Forest. So
yeah. And Boston College beat Wake Forest pretty soundly. I think Boston College can just happen to show up, and Boston College can send some buses to Army and just say, hey, ride our bus, right?
Yeah, that's very true. Next game, North Carolina State at Wake Forest.
Here I will say this: Wake Forest is good for one upset a year. They did it to North Carolina last year, but I just don't know that it's going to be North Carolina State, so I'm going to pick the Wolfpack at this one.
Yeah,
I think
me
the
too.
Wolfpack was going to come back, and I don't know if you knew this, Will, but their quarterback is actually, he had broken a finger, I believe, and he had been out, and I mentioned at the beginning, Brandon Mitchell is his name, that with Brandon Mitchell at quarterback, that I thought that the Wolfpack could be a sleeper team in the ACC. Well, they've kind of weathered the storm, and he's going to be back, I don't think for this week, but for the next game, so I think they can get through this one, and then they might be tough to handle the rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree. But so yeah, I think NC State wins this game pretty easily. I don't think what poor Wake Forest, they don't have anything going for them.
I think it's gonna be closer than you think, Will, but I do think that State will win that one.
Yeah. Okay. Next is our game, Georgia Tech at Miami. Man, this is tough.
I'm just gonna be the first one to say I think Miami wins this game. I think it's gonna be 24-21 kind of game.
I feel like it will be low scoring, especially if Georgia Tech can figure out how to stop Duke Johnson, which they've been stopping running backs all season. They did awesome against Virginia Tech's running back. Not so awesome against Logan Thomas. But I think the key to this game is stopping Duke Johnson. If Georgia Tech can stop Duke Johnson, hold them to under 100 yards rushing, then I think that Georgia Tech has as good a chance of any as winning this game. So I feel like this might not be the wisest decision, but I'm going to pick Georgia Tech to win this game.
Okay.
Same score, 24-21, but going the other way around. So
you think it's going to be a field goal for Tech at the end?
I think that Butker hits like a 57-yarder to win the game.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah. So.
All right. I hope you're right.
I really hope I'm right. Or maybe wrong. I actually hope that we, you know, beat him by 40, but, you know, can't hope for everything. Okay, let's pick up the pace
everything.
Here. The rest of the games, I feel like we're going to be there's maybe one game that we have a difference of opinion on. So I'm just going to run through these. The first one is Clemson at Syracuse.
Yeah, Clemson, big. We haven't
really
spent a lot
really
of time
big.
Talking about Clemson yet because they haven't had, after the Georgia game, they haven't really had any big games. But
Clemson, two weeks,
yeah. They're going to have a big one. I think Clemson is good, and they're going to destroy Syracuse. No offense.
Yeah,
Syracuse.
I agree. Okay, that does it for the ACC going to the SEC, which is going to be way easier. First one, this is hilarious. I mean, honestly, this
Border
game
war.
Should be it should be canceled. This game
Border
should
war.
Be it, really like let's let Army like give the money to from Georgia State to Army so they can travel.
Yeah, that's great. We'll sequester the Georgia State team. Just lock them.
Yeah.
Lock them in the dome.
They're like, what is the point of playing this game? I mean, I'm dead serious. Like, this game can only be bad for both teams. I mean, you could have a freak incident where, you know, McCarron steps on his offensive lineman's ankle and is out for the season.
That,
I mean,
look, McCarron won't play more than a quarter.
Yeah, but he could get hurt that first quarter, first play. I mean, this Georgia State is... We've talked about them at length a few weeks ago. They are bad. Like, really, really bad. And they have no business whatsoever playing a team like Alabama, ever.
There's one word that sums up why they're playing Alabama.
Money.
Money. That's right. They get the
money.
Paycheck, and they get out of Tuscaloosa as fast as they can. And I mean fast. They might not play the second half. It's going to be Alabama 70-0. It's going to be
I don't
big.
Think it goes that bad because I think Nick Saban will take down the gas considerably.
Now, here's the thing, Will. You're a third string running back, Alabama. You don't ever play.
True.
You just got in the third quarter.
Yeah, that's true.
And you see a lane. You just see that green grass in front of you. You're
yeah,
going to go
and you're
go
playing
as
against
hard
a defense that is going to be absolutely exhausted.
you're going to go... And you're going to go as hard as you can. Yeah, 70-0. It's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Alabama wins big.
Georgia State might get negative points. It's never happened, but it might this time.
Yeah.
So, I feel like this is unanimous. Alabama wins.
They
it
are.
Huge.
I looked at the Vegas odds. They are 4,000-1 odds. So, if you pick Georgia State and they win,
just
you're
put a
be,
dollar.
Yeah,
put a dollar on State. What's there to lose? A dollar? You win $4,000. I'd take that bet. I might put $20 on Georgia State. What if there's a what if something crazy happens?
Well, I've got an idea. Instead of you putting $20 on Georgia State, give me the $20. I'll invest it for you, and I'll come back just like the parable.
Oh yes, just like the parable. Okay, next game. We talked about that game for like a minute and a half.
Yeah, people have already turned off the
podcast.
They've
already turned it off. Number 6 Georgia at Tennessee.
Oh man, Rocky Top. This is
gonna
be a game.
We'll always lose this game. I don't know.
Yeah, Georgia is gonna win. You know,
Georgia's good. They're 35-10.
Tennessee's terrible.
Yeah, they'll win, and then they'll win comfortably. Ole Miss at Auburn.
Man, oh man, Ole Miss just lost to Alabama.
But Auburn.
Is this the game that you said we were going to disagree on? Because I'm
no,
going to pick.
It's later on.
No, I'm picking Auburn. Auburn's going to
really?
Win this one. Auburn's going to win.
Well, okay, what's your reasoning behind that?
Home game for Auburn. It's 7 o'clock. If you, like, I promise you, Will, if you want to go to a place where the home crowd affects the game more than anywhere else, go to the Plains. That's where, I mean, their home crowd is, they have a decisive home field advantage. Ole Miss is young, never played in that kind of environment before. It's going to be a good game. Auburn's offense is going to get it together and just put enough out there to win. I think it's something like, you know, 28-21, but Auburn's going to win the game.
Yeah. I'm going to pick Ole Miss on this one. I mean, they did get shellacked by Alabama, but it was Alabama. I'm going to pick Ole Miss to win this game. And I know Auburn, it's at the Plains. They have home field advantage. It's a late game. It'll be loud. But I feel like Ole Miss is gonna come in and win this one. It'll be close. I think they win it close though.
Okay.
So I'm gonna pick Ole Miss. So the next game is Arkansas at Florida.
Now, as we all know, Florida has a very potent offense.
Yeah.
And I think that potent offense will lead them to a decisive 6-2 victory. And I think Florida will win this one.
I'm going to disagree with you there. I'm going to say it's going to be 5-2.
So a field goal and a safety.
A field goal and a safety. Actually, it's going to be 2 safeties and an extra point. They're going to adjust the rules for an extra point there at the end. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a very, very low-scoring game and Florida wins.
Do you remember a few years ago when I think it was Auburn and Mississippi State played a game and the score was 3-2?
Yep, I remember.
It was the worst game I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Okay. This one might be like that.
Yeah, next one, LSU at Mississippi State.
LSU, man, big revenge game.
Yeah, yeah. Mississippi State is going to get the full force of all that frustration from losing the week before. Yeah.
They better go ahead and mow the grass because Les Miles might start eating it.
Yeah. Just get just trim it really short where he'll be standing for the game.
Yeah.
And he can't eat any of that grass.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the one where I thought we kind of disagree. Missouri at Vanderbilt. Now, Missouri is 4-0.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Missouri.
Missouri is 4-0. They haven't really been tested. They haven't played. This is their first conference game. They played Murray State, Toledo, Indiana, Arkansas State. So this is like they've not played anybody.
Yeah, look, I like Gary Pinkel. I think he's a good coach. He's been at Missouri for maybe 12 or 13 years.
Yeah.
He's been there a long time. He runs that spread offense. They put up points. Last year was difficult for them adjusting to the SEC, I think. But I think that they can win this game. I think that's a good win for the program.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to say that Vanderbilt wins. The reason being, they have played some tough games already this season, losing very close to Ole Miss and giving South Carolina a little bit of scare on the road. So I don't think that Missouri, with it being at Vandy, I think that Missouri is going to have a tough time adjusting to the tougher competition. Hmm. So I think that Vandy wins it by a touchdown.
Okay.
So. And the last game is Kentucky at South Carolina. Don't say it. I know what you're going to say, but so say it anyway.
You don't want me to say it, or do you want me to say it?
We'll just go ahead and say it.
I don't pick against the old ball coach. So I'm going to say go Gamecocks, and they're going to win, fairly comfortably here. Jadeveon Clowney might even have a fumble recovery for a score.
I think that South Carolina wins pretty easily.
You just don't pick against the ball coach. Well, yep.
To remind our listeners, Andrew is 77. Oh wait, I got this backwards. I put this up backwards. Andrew is 74-15, and Will is 77-12. Hmm. So
I could conceivably here, I could make up some ground this week.
You could, because we have 3 different opinions here. You're 3 games down.
Well, hopefully.
This is your chance.
Yeah, it is. But I don't want to be tied with you. That means that I was right and Miami beat us. So maybe I'll make up 2 games.
Yeah, okay. Pick up 2 games here. Pick up 2.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen.
Okay. All right, well, that's all that we got for today. Thank you for listening. Nobody's listening. Is anybody listening?
I don't know. I didn't check the numbers, so I don't know.
Yeah,
but I do know that we've been getting an exorbitant amount of email.
Yeah, it's almost too much to filter through, and some of it has a lot of cursing in it.
Yeah.
So please,
it's a family show.
please stop that, because our filters, we've had to put up spam filters, and I feel like we're actually filtering out some of the good emails. There's some really good emails out there, but we're filtering them out because there's just so much cursing in the other ones.
And somehow we got on the Bed Bath & Beyond mailing list. I don't know whose idea that was.
I don't know, but I couldn't tell you how many hundreds of those emails I have gone through today. So you
look at them?
Yeah, and they don't. Well, maybe someone from Bed Bath & Beyond listens and has a question. You know,
I don't think that's how it works though. But anyway. The point is that please do send us a good email. We do read them. We have to sift through a lot of them, but we do read them, and we want to know. We will possibly respond if you have a good email.
Yeah, I mean, if you send like a mediocre email, we're not going to respond. I mean, we're not putting it on our show.
I won't even read it. Yeah.
Delete that.
Yeah.
So, only good emails. Put like in the title, like good email, and we'll click on it. So.
Well, yes, that's true.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you for listening. This is Fourth and Short Podcast at fourthandshort.com. My name is Will Patton.
And I'm Andrew Brown. Follow me at Downtown Andrew B.
All right. We'll talk to you all later. Bye.